Thank you, Byron, for leading us in those songs. We appreciate all those who served this morning as we begin a new month. If you'll open your Bibles this morning, to begin with, to Matthew chapter 5, you may want to go ahead and put your marker in the Old Testament book of Psalms 119, because we're going to move over to that passage pretty quickly. You can't always tell a lot about a tree from the outside of it. Some trees grow, and as they grow, they twist. And that's not one of the best pieces of lumber. If you take one of those trees that's twisted like that, you can take it into the sawmill and you can lop off the sides. And from the outside, it looks all square and nice. But if you'll stand at the end of the tree as it's cut off, you can see that the heart actually is twisted. Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, emphasizes the fact that kingdom religion is essentially a religion of the heart. The externals can be perfect, but if you don't have the heart of the matter right, that religion is worthless. Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, you'll remember. He talks about those kingdom prerequisites. And among those prerequisites for life in the kingdom is the one that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Over these last few lessons, we've looked at some of the emphasis on heart religion. We've seen that murder is more than just an external action. It stems from an impure heart, a heart that's filled with hatred and anger. Adultery is more than just physical sex. It comes out of a heart that is filled with lust and desire. Cursing and swearing are not just bad habits. It's a reflection of a soiled heart. That's why Jesus is going to say later in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 15:18, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." All from the heart. God looks not just at what we do on the exterior, what we say and how we act. He looks at the motives that underlie all of these things. Well, how do you get a pure heart? And if you can ever get a pure heart, how in the world, in our defiled world, do you keep a pure heart? Well, we want to go back over. So if you'll flip at this time to the 119th Psalm, we want to go back to one of the favorite Old Testament books of Jesus. We know this because Jesus quotes again and again and again out of the book of Psalms. He must have committed large portions of the book of Psalms to memory because he's able to quote it frequently when he's asked questions and during the lessons that he taught. Psalm 119, verse 9, asks the question that we this morning want to answer. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, the same way a young lady can keep her way pure. The same way an old man can keep his way pure. The same way an older lady can keep her way pure. It's all the same. It's a matter of the heart. And that's the question we want to answer this morning. Let me just say, first of all, you can be clean. Don't think you can't. You can. You can be clean, and you don't have to work on it for 15 years in order to finally achieve that status of having a clean heart. Let me tell you right now, you can be clean this morning. Your heart can be clean as you leave the doors of this building today. That's how long it takes, and I'm going to tell you exactly how your heart can be clean. Read with me again this passage that was read for us a few moments ago. He asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. What you've got to do, if you really want to have a clean heart, a pure heart, you have to be serious and you have to want it with every fiber of your being. You need to stop making excuses. A lot of people have impure hearts and they make all kinds of excuses for their impurity. Stop making excuses. You know why? Because God cannot cleanse an excuse. God can and will cleanse a sin. But you've got to own that sin. You've got to admit your problems. You've got to own up to the impurities in your heart. Only then will God work that cleansing power within your heart. Admit it. What is your heart problem? We've all got heart problems, don't we? Spiritual heart problems. It may be hatred. It may be materialism and the consequent greed that almost always goes with that. It may be sexual immorality. It may be addiction to pornography that Dwight talked about last week. It may be pride. There are all kinds of heart diseases spiritually. It may be other addictions in your life. But the first thing is to acknowledge that and to own it and to stop making excuses about it. Now let me be clear about this. The initial cleansing from sin for the Christian comes at baptism. That is where all sins are washed away by the power of the blood of Jesus. That's what Peter said on that first day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness, for the remission, for the cleansing of your sins. So the first thing that has to be done is that initial step of faith with your trust in Jesus Christ. Now, continual cleansing becomes available at that point. Once a person has taken that first step, continual cleansing is available for the asking. All you have to do is pray. You want to get clean the first time? You need to be baptized. You want to get clean all the subsequent times you sin? You pray and you ask God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not some of it, not a few sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. God will make you clean initially in the waters of baptism. God will keep you clean through the washing of His blood as you confess your sins and ask Him for that cleansing. He will completely make you and keep you clean. But you've got to be serious. You've got to get real about your sin. You know, you've got to initially get clean. Because if you don't get clean, you will not want to stay clean. Now, if you're like me, you go through cycles of cleaning at your house. I have a cycle that runs about every 2 years with my garage. And I'll get out there and it'll get worse and worse and worse. And Vicki will say, you know, you really ought to clean the garage. And I'll know that. But I'll go out there and it'll be so bad, I don't even mind throwing, you know, my tools around and I don't organize. I just throw them wherever they are. And I'll even throw trash around. It gets so bad, there's not any point in even trying to keep it clean. But then I'll go out there and I'll just tear into it. And I'll go through the whole thing and get it all clean. And I tell you, if anyone misplaces anything for the next month or so, I'm all over them, because once it's clean, I want to keep it clean. And that's the way we are with our heart. If you'll clean your heart, allow God to clean your heart through the blood of Jesus, you'll want to keep it clean. But that's always the first step, is to get it clean. If you're not a Christian, then you need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If you are a Christian and you're living with ongoing sin in your life, you need to confess those sins and allow Jesus to cleanse your heart with His blood. And let me tell you, when Jesus cleanses your heart, you are clean. As my mother used to say, clean as a whistle. Jesus is the one who does the spring cleaning. And there is no one who ever cleans more thoroughly than Jesus does when He gets into a dirty heart. He scrubs out every stain and He dusts every shelf and He freshens and purifies everything that He touches. And it is wonderful to be clean from the heart out. There is nothing in this world more wonderful than being made clean by Jesus when the cleansing tide of His blood washes through every crevice in your heart. And when the fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit sanitizes every recess of your mind. That's what's available to us through Jesus Christ. Being able to live clean lives, pure lives. You know, your heart feels like your teeth do when you come out of the dentist's office after they've been cleansed. But it has to be with all of your heart. That's what he says. Notice again what he says there in verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. There is nothing more tragic than half-hearted Christians. That will never get the job done. You'll never have a clean heart unless you do it with your full heart. Make up your mind like Daniel did. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and the wine. He made a personal resolution in his heart, and we need to do that. I need to resolve that I will not put any substance in my body that will alter my mood or my mind that will defile me. Like Daniel, I want to maintain a pure, clean heart. Make up your mind like Job did. Job 31, verse 1, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. He made his mind up. He didn't have to make a decision every time someone walked by with no clothes on. He looked the other direction. He wouldn't go that way. He wouldn't allow his mind to go in that direction. And you've got to make a resolve. And folks, in our world, it is hard to do it. If you don't go out your door in the morning having resolved to live a clean life and keep a pure thought life, you're not going to. It requires an initial resolve and constant vigilance. There is a small animal. It looks like a weasel. It's called an ermine. And it's noted for its beautiful white fur. And back in the earlier days, hunters would go out, and this fur was highly prized. And an ermine lives in a little hole in the ground. And the way they would hunt these animals, they would hunt them with dogs, but they would go, and if they ever found one of the burrows where the ermine lived, they would take mud and filth and anything they could and just put all around the hole, the entrance of where that little animal lived. And then they would go out with the dogs and begin to hunt it, and it would make a mad dash for its home. But when it got there and saw all that filth around the doorway of its burrow, it wouldn't enter. It would rather face the dogs and fight to the death than soil and dirty that white fur coat. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to make a decision that we're going to fight to the death before we will allow ourselves to be dirtied by the filth of this world. Now, we've been talking about how to get a clean heart. Now, let's talk just a little bit more in this same passage about how to maintain a pure heart. Read with me from verse 11 on. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. You know how to stay clean? Once you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, once you have prayed to God and confessed your sins and asked Him to again cleanse you, and He does that, you know how to stay clean for the rest of the day? Stay in the Word. Get in the Word and stay in the Word. That's how you do it. I have hidden your Word in my heart, He says. That's another way of expressing memorization. You know how you hide God's Word in your heart? You memorize it. You commit it to memory, and you've got it right there, and you can pull it up anytime you want it. Jesus won the battle against Satan because every time Satan came at Him in different ways, Jesus was able every time to say, "It is written," and He quoted the verse. He didn't have to run back there and say, "Does anybody have a Bible? Where's that verse that says, isn't there something in there that says something like this?" He had it written on his heart. He knew these things. And let me tell you, you all know what your weak spots are. You know what your hidden sins are. You know what dirties your heart. Go in there and you find some verses that deal specifically with your sin and you memorize them. And the next time Satan comes and knocks on your door, you say, "It is written," and you quote that verse to him. And you'll have the same result that Jesus did. The Word is powerful in our battle against Satan. I'm proud of our Wednesday night class. We've got a bunch of folks in there that are memorizing some scripture, and they haven't done that in years. And I've had some of the younger ones come and say their memory verse just in a hurry, but I've had some of the older ones come, and they've had to struggle with it, but they've still memorized it, and they said, you know, it's hard. The old brain gets a little rusty after the years go by, but you can still memorize. You can memorize at every age. It's harder. And I want to encourage you all to do that. God has designed the human mind so that you cannot think two thoughts at one time. Did you know that? God's built us that way. You can't think two thoughts that are opposite at the same time. If you fill your mind up with good thoughts and positive thoughts and righteous thoughts, that will chase out the negative and the wrong and the dirty and the ugly. That's why Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Fill your mind with all these wonderful, good, pure, holy thoughts. And where are you going to find thoughts like that? In the Word. That's where you find those things that are pure and lovely and admirable and worth thinking about, things that are excellent. In verse 15 here in Psalm 119, he says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Fill your mind with thoughts from the Word of God. Do you know the difference between just reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God? Well, it's the same difference between a cow eating grass and then later on chewing the cud. You know, cows have four stomachs. And a cow goes out there in that green grass in the field, and he enjoys the process of eating. They go out there and they munch and crunch and eat all that grass. And then they go over and they lay down under a tree, and he sits there and he thinks, you know, I think I'll get some of that alfalfa. And so he pulls up the old alfalfa from stomach number four, and he chews on that for a while and says, boy, that's pretty good. Now, I think I got some clover in there, and so he pulls up clover from stomach number one. I know it's probably not quite like that, but he does, and he pulls these things up, and he chews on them, and he enjoys them, and he mulls over them and enjoys them all over again. Now, you can read through God's Word, and there is value in just reading through systematically, but there is tremendous value and meditating. And so if there is one verse in your daily reading that stands out, write it on a piece of paper, memorize it, think about it, and all day long, just chew on that one. Think about it over and over. Begin your day in the Word, and then think on significant verses throughout the day that especially touch your life. Now let me tell you, anytime you begin spending time in the Word and disciplining yourself, and let me tell you, it is a discipline. It's as much a discipline as getting up and going to the Y every morning and working out. If you get into the Word, it'll be just as hard. And Satan will distract you. You'll forget about it, and two or three days will go by, and you'll think, oh, I've not even done my Bible reading in several days now. But stay with it and develop the habit of daily reading and the habit of meditating regularly on God's Word, and eventually it will become second nature. I'll promise you it will. I taught all three of my girls to drive a stick shift, and that's what they started out driving. And I know how hard it was. I remember as a boy learning to drive on an old pickup truck on the farm, and you had to concentrate all the time. You thought, now with my left foot, I put the clutch in, and then I do this, and you've got to, and you think through everything, and now I've got to do it again, and you dreaded ever going up a hill and having to stop and start on a hill. But after you've done it a while, you don't even think about it. It's just second nature. You just go along, and you never even think about having to push that clutch in or shift that gear. You're at your destination without even thinking. And that's the way daily Bible study will become. If you'll make it a habit, it'll become natural, and clean thoughts are the result. A clean heart is the end product of that kind of disciplined living with the Word. It's wonderful to be able to have a clean heart in the morning and to lay your head on the pillow at night and allow your last thought of the day to be some reflection on the Word of God, and to go to sleep at night with a pure heart, a clean heart, having been cleansed and washed by God, confessing your sins to Him at the end of the day and asking Him to again cleanse you, and to sleep with a clean conscience at night. You know, soon the Word of God becomes like some old tune that you hear. You ever hear some song and you just can't get it out of your head? And God's Word can become like that. And you just can't get it out of your head, and you're reflecting constantly and thinking about the things. It will be the music of the soul that you can't get out of your heart. Let me close with just one suggestion here. If you're serious, if you're here this morning and you want to be clean, number one, let me say, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you can leave here clean today, and this is how you can do it. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, and if you'll just come down here to the front, we will help you. We'll take you by the hand, and we'll let you make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you're serious about turning from your sins, we'll take you back over here in one of the changing rooms, and we'll help you change. And the water is warm, and we will baptize you into Christ. And as you go home today, you will be clean. Inside and out. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you need to get clean, as we sing this song, pray to God and ask Him to cleanse your heart. Confess your sin and let Him do it, and He'll cleanse you. He's promised He'll do it. He's faithful and He's just. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then if you're serious about disciplining yourself and staying clean, let me give you your memory verse right now. If you want to write it down, you can. Maybe you can remember it. Psalm 51:10, that's your memory verse. And you start by memorizing that verse, and you say it every morning this week when you get up. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew within me a steadfast spirit. Try that every morning. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew within me a steadfast spirit. Psalm 51:10. Now, if you can pray that prayer, if you can say that verse, and that is real, if you're serious about that, and you ask God to do that, don't you think God will answer a prayer like that? Don't you think God will bless a heart that longs for that kind of cleanliness on the inside? I hope and pray that all of us can grow in this area of cleanliness, that we'll all be able to have and maintain pure hearts as the people of God. If you need to come this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.
What will you do with Jesus? The question comes to you.